1.
When I'm working out, I love to listen to your podcast.
Whenever you say something, other people react to it.
Taking my breath away, Aaron.
Vern Lundquist joins me. Hall of Famer.
Welcome in,
Jim
everybody.
Jim Calhoun. NASCAR icon
Monday
Dale Earnhardt Jr. Kirk Herbstreit is on the phone.
Hope everyone's having a great day. And I think by now,
we
kind of
do.
So on Sunday night, I recorded a preview of the national championship game because why wouldn't I? Purdue and UConn are playing tonight and it's going to be incredible. Then all the Calipari stuff broke, and I was like, oh my God, and we did 2 hours of live Calipari coverage on YouTube. And so I bring it up because, bluntly, there was no way to piece together what I recorded on the national championship with the Calipari stuff, so we're running separate podcasts, and that's exactly what we're going to do now. We're going to take 20, 25 minutes to talk about the national championship game, everything that I think is going to happen, my pick and prediction. And oh, by the way, on top of that, we'll just talk about the national championship game. Should mention, by the way, there may be in passing some references to John Calipari. Oh, there's some stuff circulating. Ignore that. We know that it happened. And also, I'll say this. The episode's going to end abruptly because the plan was to throw to a segment about is John Calipari actually going to take the Arkansas job? So I bring it up. This is a different episode. We're going to get right into the national championship. And then from there, the episode's just going to end. No shout out to Torrin Craig, Rachel Yates, my voice, etc. So just be prepared. By the way, before we get started, a couple quick announcements. The first thing, and I've said it and I continue to say it, we are working with BetUS Sportsbook all March long. It's been an incredible opportunity. And here's the cool part. For one more night, you have a chance to take advantage of the best deal going in sports betting. This is the deal. Click the link in the show description. This is all you need to do. Click the link in the show description, and from there, you can take advantage of the best deal going, which is a 125% deposit bonus on your first three deposits. So you put in $100 tonight, bet on the game, you don't win. Well, guess what ends up happening? A funny thing. They will, first of all, give you 125 in free bets, but then on top of that, you can deposit again. They'll give you 125% more. And if you lose that, they'll do it a third time. So thank you to BetUS. It's been an incredible experience working with them all March long. And I'm so, so excited about, I believe we'll be continuing that in the future. We'll talk about that. But thank you to BetUS. Really quickly, also want to thank Bracket Fanatics. Fourth year that we are working with Bracket Fanatics. And the Bracket Fanatics is our official Aaron Torres Pod Bracket Challenge sponsor for the Aaron Torres Pod. Love Bracket Fanatics. Appreciate everything that they have done for me. Should mention going into the final night of the NCAA tournament. As of right now, Game Day Metrics actually leads the Bracket Challenge. We're giving away $1,000 in cash prizes thanks to Bracket Fanatics. But here's the cool part. Even if your bracket is busted, if you enter the Aaron Torres Pod Bracket Challenge, you have an opportunity to win $250 in cash. Here is how. So Bracket Fanatics has a bets tab, okay, manage bets. And in that, you can bet friends actual money, or you can bet me tonight. I have UConn -6.5 in this game. What Bracket Fanatics is going to do, they're going to put free money, they call it Bracket Bucks, $25 in your account. You bet against me. So I'm going to put in, I'm going to say UConn -6.5. If Purdue covers or Purdue wins outright, you win 25 Bracket Bucks. And then, oh, by the way, guess what? Anyone that wins is eligible to win $250 in cash prize. All you got to do, go to the Manage Bets tab, click Accept the Bet, and you're entered to win $250 in cash prizes. So thank you to Bracket Fanatics. Appreciate working with them. What we're going to do, take a quick break, come back, talk national championship. And as I said, different show, unique show, fun show, talk national championship. By the way, if you somehow didn't download the Calipari podcast, shame on you. Quick break. Be right back talking UConn Purdue. But we are going to start with UConn and Purdue. Crazy, right? God forbid we talk about a national championship game. But I want to dive in. UConn, as I said, is a 6.5-point favorite as of Sunday evening. And I want to dive into this game from a lot of different angles. But where I really want to start is this. I want to say a quick thank you. Thank you to the college basketball gods. Okay. Because the bottom line is, listen, I love college hoops. You all love college hoops. And I do think nationally,
people love it more than people would think. I mean, that UConn-San Diego State game last year was higher rated than any NBA game we had all year, except maybe one in the NBA Finals. I can't even remember at this point. But the point I'm trying to make, everybody loves the tournament. Everybody's going to watch the championship game. But it does feel a little bit different this year, doesn't it? Because think about it. For most of this season, now you want to go back to the first week or two. I know we all liked Arizona early. We all liked Kansas early. But at the end of the day, really from about January 1 on, there were only three teams that you could really argue were the best team in college basketball. It was either UConn, it was Purdue, and I think Houston was absolutely in that conversation as well. I don't want to make any revisionist history, but you look at Houston, and even by the end of the year, you started to say, well, they kind of got a lot of injuries. Juwan Roberts is limping around in the Big 12 tournament. Couple season-ending injuries, Terrence Arsenault among them, an NBA-type prospect. And so when Jamal Shedd went down, listen, I think if Jamal Shedd doesn't go down, Houston probably wins that game against Duke and probably is in the Final Four. But he did go down. Injuries were their problem all year. And so in the end, we basically get the best possible game we could because we got two teams that everybody agreed were elite all year. And I actually think even within the Houston part of that conversation, I think it was kind of the UConn looks the best on paper, but Purdue probably has the best resume. Remember, we could criticize Purdue for whatever we want, or I can. I know a lot of people, Purdue fans will be in the mentions here, but Purdue's resume was unbelievable this year. Neutral court win over Tennessee, neutral court win over Marquette, excuse me, in the Maui Invitational, neutral court win over Gonzaga. Obviously, they played Gonzaga and Tennessee in the NCAA tournament, but neutral court win over Arizona, over Bama. They won at Illinois to clinch a Big Ten regular season title. So they had an incredible resume. UConn was kind of viewed as the best team, and now we get to see it, and now we get to see a game that I think everyone can easily wrap their arms around, right? The argument that there aren't good storylines or there aren't stars or there aren't brands or there aren't this or there aren't that, it doesn't apply here. End of story. UConn, unquestionably one of the biggest brands in college basketball. UConn going for a second straight national title, hasn't been done in close to two decades. And I'd mention again, this isn't Florida in 2007 because Florida in 2007 returned all five starters. So you have that. You have America starting to appreciate what Dan Hurley may mean to the future of college basketball as we're looking for a name and a face to associate with this sport. The fact that I think all of these UConn players, Donovan Clingan has helped his draft stock, so now you got the NBA fans interested. Steph Castle has helped his draft stock, so you got the NBA fans interested. And so I bring it up very simply to say, UConn, defending champ, one of the two or three rising coaches in the sport. And then you got Zach Edey and Purdue. And you got Purdue. They hadn't been to a Final Four since 1980. They got that monkey off their back. They haven't been to a title game since 1969. They have not won a national title in the modern era. So it is freaking crazy, all of the great storylines. And like I said, for college basketball, this is just so great because, again, ultimately it is something that everyone can wrap their arms around and everybody can get really, really, really excited about, okay? So I bring that up because that's the good part. Now let's get to some of the matchups because I think there's one that everybody's talking about and there's one that maybe people aren't quite talking about as much. The first one, the one that everybody cares about, everybody's talking about, it's obviously the battle in the paint, right? It is the battle in the paint involving Donovan Clingan and Zach Edey. And we've talked a lot about Zach Edey, and I know every Purdue fan in America thinks Torres hates Zach Edey. That is not the case at all, okay? And as I've said, he was my national player of the year. Duh. He was the only guy, you know, outside of maybe Dalton Connect there for a little while that was part of that conversation. When you can average 25 points, 13 boards, 2.5 blocks, 50% shooting from the three-point line at 7'4", you know, you're special. And what I've said about Zach Edey is this, listen, he's a special player. I can disagree on some of the other stuff that's out of his control, specifically how he is refereed, but it doesn't change the fact that he's special, that he's quick, he's mobile, he's athletic, he's got a jump hook with both hands, he's impossible to guard with one player. But what makes this game interesting is that Donovan Clingan is maybe the only player in America that can match up with him. Clingan, to me, even outside of the Zach Edey stuff, is the breakout star of the early part of this NCAA tournament, okay? Early part of the NCAA tournament, forgive me, okay? And when I say breakout star, Purdue fans, don't get mad. Everybody knew about Zach Edey, and certainly everybody knew about Donovan Clingan. But remember, Donovan Clingan was banged up earlier in the season, didn't play, you know, frankly got hurt in the preseason. So even when he started the season, he was kind of behind the eight ball. Then he gets re-injured in December. And Dan Hurley even said, he goes, Donovan Clingan is playing his best basketball at the best possible moment in time. And man, oh man, oh man, do I give him so much credit. And he's done it on a national stage. He's done it in the biggest moments. Listen, how about this? Hassan Diarra, our guy who joins us on this show every week, he said for weeks, he said, Donovan is the most impactful player in college basketball. And I know Zach Edey's in college basketball, so maybe Zach Edey is co-number one with Donovan Clingan. But you watch Donovan Clingan over these last couple games, are you kidding me? Just think about the games that Donovan Clingan has had the last week or so, okay? Go back to what was it, the Illinois game. It was bananas. 22-10-5. Controlled the paint, 30-0 run. UConn cruises to victory over Illinois. Bama, 18-5-4 blocks. And I'll tell you, I was in that arena. It felt like he had about 26-14-7, okay? 18-5-4 has never felt bigger than the impact that Donovan Clingan had in that game. And so when I look at this matchup, you know, I look at the fact that you can sort of maybe get away with Clingan playing him one-on-one. Now, to me, a couple things. Never going to defend Zach Edey solely, but I do think Clingan staying out of foul trouble is kind of, not kind of important, it is very important. And I think, look, you know, UConn doesn't have a ton of front court depth. Obviously, if Clingan gets in foul trouble, that could be tough for UConn, especially early in the game. Thought it was interesting. Dan Hurley on Saturday against Alabama, Clingan picked up an early foul. Hurley pulled him right away. Now, I know they weren't playing a Bama team that had the size like Purdue does with Zach Edey, but I don't think this is the thing where Donovan Clingan's going to pick up two fouls in the first 4 minutes and he's on the bench for the rest of the first half. I think if he gets a foul, Hurley will bring in Samson Johnson. He'll rotate some guys. He's not going to lose Clingan for the game. The bigger thing to me, though, and we talked about this a little bit on the Saturday reaction show, as big as the Donovan Clingan versus Zach Edey story is, what I don't think nearly enough people are talking about is the matchup in the backcourt between Purdue and UConn, okay? Because Edey, I would argue this. I don't think Donovan Clingan is going to neutralize him. I think Zach Edey is going to get his. But I'll even take it a step further. I think Zach Edey can get his. But what I worry about is there a second guy for Purdue? And I'll be honest, I just think after watching those four teams on Saturday night in Phoenix, I think the Purdue guards are really going to struggle with UConn, okay? And this isn't a hot take. It's not Torres hating Purdue. But let's just look at some simple facts. Let's just use basic facts, okay? Purdue's backcourt, Fletcher Lawyer, 6'4", 180. Braden Smith, 6 foot, 175. Lance Jones, 6 foot, 200 pounds, okay? UConn, now let's just compare. This is not judgment-free. This is not Torres as the hot take guy. This is not Torres that hates Purdue, not Torres that went to UConn. UConn, Tristan Newton, 6'5", 195, going to play in the NBA, I believe. Cam Spencer, 6'4", 205. Steph Castle, 6'6", 215. And so you just look at the matchup on the perimeter. This is, you know, like remember J.J. Redick, when he called me an F-head, he said it's a simple math equation, F-head? Well, it's a simple math equation for UConn. They're simply bigger and stronger and more athletic at all three guard spots. Really quickly, you look at Lance Jones. I think he's been a great, great, great addition for Purdue. But I think Steph Castle starts on him early, and Steph Castle's been great in this tournament, not just offensively, but I don't think he gets nearly enough credit for his defense in this tournament. Remember, he was the guy that primarily was covering Terrence Shannon Jr. in that Elite Eight game in which we were told that Terrence Shannon Jr., who was an elite player during the season, was unstoppable. Terrence Shannon Jr. finished that game with 8 points on 16% shooting from three. Go back to, oh, by the way, the Northwestern game early in the tournament. Oh, you know, I saw some people, oh, Boo Boo, he might be the best player on the floor. All Big Ten guy from Northwestern. Boo Boo, he finished the game with 9 points, 13% shooting from three. Boo Boo, 9 points, 13% shooting from three, as I just said. And so I think you put Steph Castle on Lance Jones, and I think the other two Purdue guards struggle. Listen, I know that it has been a criticism that has fueled Purdue all year. Everyone has said all year long the Purdue guards are not good enough. I get that. What I will also say, I'm not saying they're not good enough to win a lot of games. I'm not saying they're not good enough to win 30-plus games. They've won 34 games as I record here on late Sunday night. But at the same time, they obviously have not seen the size and the athleticism and the speed of that UConn backcourt. Listen, I keep saying it. I know I said it on Saturday's show. But being in that arena, two things stood out. Watching the UConn-Alabama game, I had a direct sight line to see, and I'm not X's and O's guy, but all of the things that Alabama was trying to do to get open, and all of the things that, and all of the chasing around and speed and athleticism that UConn was able to counter it with. Now, Alabama was 8 for 11 from 3 in the first half, but again, the size, the physicality, the toughness, it wore down Alabama just like it wore down basically everybody that UConn has played this year. Alabama obviously finished that game. They started 8 for 11 from beyond the three-point arc. We know how it finished, 11 to 23, so not bad, but three of your final 12. That's not going to get it done. And so you counter that with what we saw from Purdue. Purdue's guards were fine against NC State, but at the same time, let's also call a spade a spade. NC State, a super athletic team. Really, DJ Horn did whatever he wanted. DJ Horn from NC State finished with 20 points, 2 three-pointers made, 6 rebounds, and an assist. So he got to his spots. He was able to do what he wanted. Now imagine that UConn has 3 DJ Horns that are all skilled, that can all get buckets, that are all finished. Maybe Cam Spencer's not a DJ Horn. So two. They have 2 DJ Horns, but instead of being 6'1", they're 6'5", or 6'6". Then you have Cam Spencer shooting threes. Then you have Hassan Diarra off the bench, who is a monster defensive player. I just don't know how Purdue gets buckets. And so listen, I got to get to the Calipari stuff, and so forgive me on this. But when I look at this game, I think that's what it comes down to. As a matter of fact, I'll even take it a step further. I would actually argue that in my opinion, I would argue that I believe a couple things. I believe that you can let Zach Edey get his. Like, this has been my philosophy the entire tournament. I can go back to the Utah State game in round two, because Utah State had a 6'8" center named Great Osabor. And I said, what you can't do is try to think that a 6'8" guy is going to defend Zach Edey. Let Zach Edey get his 30 and 20. Let him get his 40 and 25. But stop everybody else on the court. And nobody has really tried to do that. And I know, Torres, you don't know everybody. You're smarter than the coaches. No, but what I'm just saying is, if you cut off the hose with everybody else, you have a chance. And by the way, NC State kind of did that. You notice how that NC State-Purdue game, Edey finished with 20. Lance Jones finished with 14. Nobody else finished with more than 11. So I'll tell you this. If UConn holds everybody to under 14 points, not named Zach Edey, unless a bunch of them go off and get 10, 11, 12, then I think we're talking about a game that UConn wins. And so I could go on and on. But I believe that there is a blueprint to beat UConn, and I just don't know that Purdue can do it. I just think that from the Purdue perspective, a lot's going to be on Zach Edey's shoulders. A lot he can handle. But I'm not sure that he can handle taking on all of UConn if his guards don't show up ready to play. And so to me, ultimately, end of day, I like UConn. And it's not because I don't like Zach Edey, not because I don't like Purdue. I just don't know how those guards get buckets. I don't know how they get free. I don't know how they get open. I don't know how they hit shots. Remember, they're coming off a game where they shot pretty well against NC State, but NC State doesn't have the size of UConn. And so my prediction is UConn, they shut down those guards defensively. I think Zach Edey goes for easily 25, maybe not easily, but I think they go for 25. I don't think anybody else gets anything besides him. Remember, Purdue only scored 63 points on Saturday night. And so I could go on and on, But let me give you my prediction. I think this game goes a lot like every other UConn game over the last 4 or 5 weeks. I think Purdue stays in it for a half. I think Purdue stays in it even maybe a little bit longer. But go back and look at all these UConn games. Round one of the Big East tournament, up by one at halftime, won by 30. Big East championship game, it was close at the half against Marquette. UConn wins by almost 20. Sweet 16 game, San Diego State, 9-point game at halftime. UConn wins by 30. Illinois, 5-point game at halftime. UConn wins by 25-plus. How about Saturday night? UConn up by 4 at halftime. They end up winning by what? 17, 16, whatever it ends up being. And so I could go on and on. I actually think this game is a runaway. Give me UConn. Let me make sure, because I had producer Matt actually make me a graphic, so I can't tell you what I don't have on the graphic. I will say UConn, in my opinion, this is my prediction. UConn 84, Purdue 68. I think it's close for a half. I don't think Purdue gets enough from everybody else to keep it close. I think UConn goes running away, winning a second straight national championship. And if they do, guess what? We got ourselves a story for the ages, and we're going to react to it all, because the history that is, and by the way, if Purdue wins, we're still going to react to it. Don't get me wrong. But if UConn wins, we're talking about the history that is at stake. Back-to-back national championships, sixth in school history for UConn. There will be a lot to discuss, and we will discuss it all on Monday night, live from the Final Four. By the way, a couple things before we get to the Calipari stuff. If you're not subscribed on YouTube, we will go live on Monday night. Obviously, that will be in your feeds for Tuesday morning. So make sure you're subscribed on YouTube, but make sure you're subscribed here on Pod as well. But that's my prediction. UConn 84, Purdue 68. The Huskies win going away. And either way, we're going to have a lot to talk about on Monday night from Phoenix.